Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, NYCVirtualOffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000 or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.
Do you believe insurance companies overcharge you? Do you believe that you pay enough monthly and you should not have to pay a deductible when the coverage is needed? Unfortunately, deductibles are real, and we at We Pay All Your Deductibles offer you a warranty for about 1.5% monthly of the cost of your deductible to pay your deductible when you need it. We give back 25% back every 2 years if the time never arises. Sign up for our warranty, and you will have one up on the high cost of insurance on your cars, homes, motorcycles, cell phones, and boats. We pay all your deductibles.
The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at Lady Z. That's LADYZHE. Today is a special episode because the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z is celebrating Black History Month. Yay! Black History Month is the perfect time to reflect on Black history, which is American history. And my next guest is the MC, songwriter, and author, Miss Dramaganza. She has done just that. She has created a great book that highlights Black history of technological and scientific geniuses who hold patents with the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Miss Dramaganza, she has become highly sought after for her songwriting and performance prowess, in fact, dubbed a secret weapon and supported by legendary rappers MC Light and Yo-Yo. Miss Dramaganza is poised to continue to make her unique mark in music. She wrote a song that has been used by Preschool Circle Times and other educators called I Am Somebody across the country. This book, this generational tool called History is a Part of Me, was birthed from this song, I Am Somebody, written by Miss Dramaganza. She created this educational activity book as an added lesson of only a fraction of the inventors whose lives aren't particularly the most popular in terms of their contributions to history. Written intentionally simple, the substance weighs tons to even an adult who has yet to identify at least five African-American inventors without Google. As for the child, what we know to be true is that little minds wander and wander. It is best to impart positive social studies early on. History is a Part of Me will inspire and satisfy their curiosity as they sing along, proclaiming that they are special. There is definitely a shortage of diverse literature in the education system, and Miss Dramaganza's goal is to promote diversity, inclusion, so that children of the future can have a fair understanding of each other's culture and origin. This will enlighten young minds as they grow to understand why equality matters. Without further ado, I just want to say good day and welcome to Miss Drama Gonza.
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I wanted you to come on to my show and talk about your endeavors because it is Black History Month. And you have an awesome, awesome book about Black inventors, African-American inventors called History is a Part of Me. So what gave you the inspiration to create this positive empowerment anthem for the young people?
Well, as you know, I'm a hip hop artist and songwriter. So years ago, I was in a leadership course, and a teacher asked me if I'd ever thought about writing about Black inventors, writing a song about them. And I didn't know any. I felt a little embarrassed because I had never explored that category. I did wonder as a child how things were made. And for some reason, I just thought God made everything. When he showed me a timeline of inventors, I was taken aback. I felt like I had been cheated. I felt like someone was holding information from me that I felt I needed to know. And I just wondered why my teachers never talked about the Black inventors. So looking at the timeline, my assignment was to choose which ones to fit into my song. So I chose to go with the inventions that children and people use every day, something they can identify with right away. So that was what sparked the idea to write a song, which later I performed at Cincinnati Public School. They had a convention center, Black History program held in a convention center, and different schools from all over the city were there, and that's where I first introduced the song. So it was actually a song first, and then many years later, I got the message to create a book. So that's how it came about.
Oh, wow. So what was the songwriting process for you like? And can you go into more detail about that?
Absolutely. It was different. Because when he asked me, can I write a song about him? And I was like, I never did before, but I can try, you know? And then, so I wanted to make it simple because I know that children, their attention spans are can be all over the place. So it was important that I made the hook really like edge. Well, I wanted the hook to really hook them in, and I wanted to make that simple. So I kind of just got along with myself and really internalize what the song could mean, but I didn't spend too much time on its significance. I just kind of got into my space, and I'm usually good at writing in the bathroom, believe it or not. Like, the bathroom is my...
You write songs like in the bathroom?
I do. That's where I come up with my ideas. So the bathroom is my little writing sanctuary. I go in there, and I kind of just... you know, sit and read or whatever. It's just like my private little space. So in there, I wrote the song after taking the facts from the timeline that I saw and kind of played with them for a while and then kind of thought about what the hook should be. I wanted it to mean something that everybody could sing along to. Mm-hmm. And so it was a simple process, I'd say. Simple once I got the hook. Once I was able to write the hook, everything else sort of fell in place.
Okay, so how did you pick the inventors, and which are your favorite inventors in your book, History is a Part of Me?
Oh, well, again, when he showed me the timeline, I wanted to make things relatable for children to know right off, like the air conditioner, the pencil sharpener, things like that. My favorite in particular is, within my book, is the Madam C.J. Walker invention.
Okay.
Because she's amazing. She was amazing. Well, she still is. Her spirit is here dwelling, and it's all over the place, as we can see. So,
yeah, she's my favorite. She created a lot of innovations in the hair industry that are still used today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's incredible the way she set up her organization and then was able to be first millionaire, first African-American millionaire with the system in place.
That's amazing.
I appreciate history makers. You know, I try to myself make sure I'm thinking out of the box because that's important. Sometimes every day we're just kind of going about a routine and not thinking about stretching the things that we're dealing with every day or stretching our creativity or imagination. Because I think as adults, when we get a little older, our imagination doesn't run as wild as it did as a child.
Right. Wow. Madam C.J. Walker is just such a outstanding figure in Black history, so inspirational. She, to me, when I think of Madam C.J. Walker, I also think of people like Frederick Douglass and others who, you know, Marcus Garvey, who pretty much built these incredible businesses that were not only just amazing in the Black community, but entrepreneurial wise, period. Were just incredible for the time and period. And in light of, you know, there was no internet, no cell phones, but yet these people had a massive worldwide impact with their
incredible
products and publications. So, you know, Madam C.J. Walker is definitely a great individual for our youth to study and be aware of, to know what the possibilities are in life. So I've noticed you've been speaking out a lot about education and children and how, you know, I see you as an education advocate. And I wanted to know, like, you know, since you've, you know, written the song and it birthed the book and you've been promoting your book, how has that impacted your view of the classroom?
It's, I taught reading. I was a reading interventionist in Georgia for about 5 years. And the people who I was teaching to read, the children were those children who the homeroom teacher didn't have time to be with one-on-one. So I take the groups out of the classroom and bring them to my classroom to teach them how to read at or above grade level. They were far below. And what I noticed was that all it was the attention that they needed, opposed to, oh, this child is being interruptive and disruptive and didn't come to learn. It was just only that they needed attention. Perhaps they weren't getting it at home, or perhaps they were being isolated in the classroom. So what I found was that me teaching them in rhyme helped them to catch on super quick. So this turned their scores around, and this made me feel like, okay, my gift as a songwriter is far beyond just making music. It's far beyond entertaining. It's edutaining. So when I think back about when I think back on the times with those children, the one-on-one times and the group times, it was like as long as they could feel like they were included in overall studies, they perform better. And when they listened to the rhymes, they remembered, their comprehension spiked. And so doing this book, I see how it correlates, because this is information and it's written in rhyme. So information written in rhyme will stick no matter what. It's proven. It's the study shows that reading rhyming words helps the child to retain the information. And the reason why my book is geared toward young people is because their brains are like sponges. by the time they're six, they kind of grasp and kind of get a feel, because they have all these questions and all this curiosity. And what they see is what they internalize. It's about socialism. So whatever they're seeing at home, whatever they're seeing at school, whatever their peers are doing, elders are doing, they're receiving it all. And only when they're older is when they're able to depict what's good and what's bad. So most times, I wouldn't say every time, but to catch them early, I feel was the best thing to do, because I taught the reading from first to third grade. And this book is geared from kindergarten to third grade. So I feel like within that realm, those are the core ages that we really need to show them different cultures. Diversity in the classrooms is really needed. And so I push this education thing because it's important to have figures in a book that looks like and reflects themselves, the children.
Right.
If they only see a certain culture in a book, it leaves them feeling excluded. And so I'm an advocate for writers of African-American culture to push for these books to be in the libraries and the schools and in the classrooms. And even at the YMCAs, the Boys and Girls Clubs and different organizations, even churches, because it makes a difference when you see somebody that looks like you that have done great things. And I can only think about the time that when I first learned about them, you know, I learned about them and I'm like, how much more would I have pushed forward had I known when I was a child that people like me has done these great things, because all of my teachers were not my color.
Right.
So I assume that was the right color to be, because they were in a position of authority in the classroom in different places that I go to. So I felt like, okay, this is what right looks like. And if it's wrong, it'll be depicted in slavery, you know, or, you know, we get to slavery and the civil rights, lessons, but we don't get the hidden figure lesson. And I thought that was important, really important.
That's powerful. You know, this is so good. When I think about this show, you know, the Jazz and Tech Lounge, this is just the perfect, you know, synergy of both the music and the technology with all these amazing Black inventors who have created these awesome things, who were mechanical engineers, chemists, who had a broad range of scientific and engineering expertise to create the innovation that they did. Can you share with me a little bit more about some other inventors in the book?
Yes. So in the book we have John Love actually did the pencil sharpener, the traffic signal by Garrett Morgan, who's done other things like the gas mask, and he's done quite a few inventions. We have the thermostat, fire extinguisher. And what's funny is this, most of these things, if you Google them, most of these things will direct you to a different inventor. And as I was doing my studies for the book, I figured it was a song years ago. And so if I wanted to make it a book, I needed to make sure that the information was factual, everything. So I did a few weeks of researching, going to the actual libraries outside of like Googling on the internet, because a lot of times the information is manipulated, or it's not all the way true. It's alternative facts. So as much as it can be good, it can be misleading. So I wanted to go to these libraries to get this in-depth information. And when I was in there, I didn't want to leave. The books, most of the books were held in their archive section. Now, this was the first time I'd ever even known that the library had an archive section. And I'm like, whoa.
Now, the archive section, that's the section of the books that can't leave the premises. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm like, I want to take these home. I want to check these out. So I'm like, oh, so I guess I'll be spending my afternoons here a couple days, you know. So in the book, I do have inventions in here without pictures because the photographs weren't available. Even when I was looking in the book in the library, I didn't find the photographs. So I thought it would be creative to just add a patent. Add their patent, their actual patent with the invention. So, and I want to retract back. I want to retract back from what I said. John Love actually did the pencil sharpener. So he didn't do the fountain pen. He did the pencil sharpener. So John Love was the inventor of the pencil sharpener. And we also have inventors of the fire extinguisher, which was Thomas Martin. And I didn't find a photograph on him, so I included his actual patent so the children can see what it looks like and what a patent will need to include, because we can imagine and draw something that we want to improve, but we have to also draw the inner workings of it, like the bottom, the sides, the, you know, everything it'll look like in order to claim that right in its totality. So there's also invention of the clothes drying. That's important because these children see these things every day. And I didn't find a picture of George Sampson, which is the inventor of the clothes dryer. So I just included his actual patent of it. So in this book, there's 10 inventors and illustrations of the things they invented. I added Obama purposely because I wanted children to see a president that looked like them. And what's funny is I was on one of my book tours, not to veer off, but I was on one of my book tours, and there was this young child. He may have been about 5 years old. And I was introducing the book. I was in Leimert Park, actually. I was introducing the book to his parent, and he flipped through and saw Obama. And the child was like, well, can there be a white president? All he knew was Obama, because Obama is, you know, was in term while he, you know, during his years of life. So I found that to be quite interesting that he hadn't known of any other president other than Obama.
Wow.
So I wanted to, yeah, that was pretty like, oh.
Talk about flip the script. So I want to switch gears a little bit. There was an album put out by Solange called A Seat at the Table. I don't know if you had a chance to take a listen to that, but I'm sure some of our listeners have. There's one interlude in particular that I wanted to mention to you. That's Solange's mom, Tina, mentioning her thoughts about Black history. And she said, you know, all because I celebrate Blackness doesn't mean I'm putting you down. It, you know, me being proud of who I am and where I come from, that's just what it is. It doesn't mean that I have to diminish your culture or hate your culture as a result of it. So I think that's pretty powerful for this child to ask that question. Because, you know, this is, I think, you know, as Black people, we deal with that. You know, the expectation that we aren't to have pride in ourselves. That's why Black History Month is so necessary. What are your thoughts about that dynamic?
My thing is, it's true. It's almost like when I was in a classroom, before I had birthed the book, I was kind of like gathering. We did surveys, so we were kind of, I had one copy and I passed it around, and there was a girl that wasn't of African American culture, and she was like, why did you do a Black book? Why didn't you do a Mexican book? Why didn't you add Mexican inventors in it or something? And the class were kind of, they were kind of upset that she would say that, but I could understand where she was coming from. And so I needed to explain to her that as an African American woman, it is my duty to be sure that my ancestors are smiling at my efforts, because they've been through so much. So whether it makes you uncomfortable that I'm celebrating my history or not, I must remain in the pursuit. And so I told her that it doesn't negate the fact that I could someday write a book about Mexican inventors. But right now it's about this one. And it's also about making sure that the people that I know and see every day and interact with, that look like me, their children understand where they came from. So it's about working from the home base and then reaching out for me. So the home base is the children of the same background that I have, the same economic struggles that I have, the same socialism I think it's important to help your own first, and then you can branch out, because once your own understand the inner workings, they can then reach out. The reason why this book is, I feel, is so important is because it's non-intimidating. And I say that because on my cover, it's multicultural. Because in the same sense of celebrating ourselves and not putting others down, has it been vice versa? Yes, it's been flipped before. So with this multicultural cover, I wanted to teach other children as well, because they don't know. And so they grow up not knowing, and then that's how the cycle continues. Mm-hmm. So it's important mm-hmm. that the classroom gets the diversity.
Right. Diversity of representation.
Yes, it's mm-hmm. so important, because once they know, then they have a different perception of us.
Right.
You know, and they begin to say, oh, they didn't know. I was speaking with someone, and she said, well, I didn't know either. You know, she was like, well, I feel cheated. And I was like, that's how I felt when I didn't know, you know, about these inventions.
The other piece is that this is American history. This is, you know, Garrett A. Morgan, he created the traffic signal, which we all use every day as we're whether we're driving, walking, biking, skateboarding, mm-hmm. roller skating, it doesn't matter. That mm-hmm. controls the flow of traffic. And it's very important mm-hmm. for us to understand the origins of that, because there's a song put out by Black Violin that's so powerful. It's called Stereotypes. And stereotypes negatively inform people of beliefs that cause things like what happened in was it West Virginia, North or South Carolina? I mean, countless incidents of hate and ignorance. And, you know, as a Black woman, and especially as a Black woman where I know my family descended on both sides from slaves from the South, Louisiana, Arkansas, you know, mm-hmm. hearing these stories growing up from the elders in my family, it's so powerful to hand to my child a book of Black inventors so they can see that Black excellence demonstrated. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
In a consistent manner, especially in light of all the stereotypes that
right.
infect and infest our world. So I say kudos to you. I say kudos
Thank
to
you
for being out that. Here and bringing this information forward, because it's so needed. It's so needed. Mm. So how can my listeners get a copy of History is a Part of Me for their children, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren?
Your wonderful listeners can go to my website, historyisapartofme.com, and I'm on social media channels with the same name, historyisapartofme.com. And right now we have a sale going on. So until supplies last, we have a buy one, get one half off. I do believe that this is a generational tool that every family should have, as well as classroom, because I do feel like the information is simple enough, yet it's impactful to have a lasting impact on the lives of our children and on the future, the way they see themselves, with the affirmation in the back along with the activity. And we just created an instructional guide for the classrooms now. So when they get the book, we have an instructional guide they can follow for a greater impact of stretching their imagination.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So mm-hmm. you have heard, you can get your copy, and there's a sale going on. Buy one, you get a second one half off. So you can go to historyisapartofme.com and order your copy today. So before we sign off, I want to ask you if you have any shout outs. Do you want to give any shout outs before we go?
I just like to shout out everyone who is pushing for diversity in the classroom. I want to shout out to anybody who's supporting my mission. People like you who have supported me and continue to support, even if it's by spreading the word or sharing a post or just word of mouth saying, hey, this is a activity book that a child needs. So I just, that's my shout out, is like a mission field shout out. If we're on the same mission, I say kudos to you and cheers, and let's go make a change. Let's see change. Let's be the change that we want to see.
Well, I'm going to say amen to that. And because we're on the Jazz and Tech Lounge, I have two other questions for you. Michael Jackson or Prince, which is your favorite?
Michael Jackson.
Okay, my second question.
Wait. That was unfair. I'm just like, oh no. I mean, well, both. I can't. I'm sorry.
I cannot pick. You don't want to pick. You don't have to pick if you don't want to.
Okay. No. Let's keep it on both.
Both.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then my other question is Mac or PC? Apple or PC?
Mac. Apple. Apple. Yes. Mac.
Apple products.
Yes. Yes, okay. Apple product.
You rocking with the MacBook Pro or MacBook Air and the iPhone?
Yeah, no. Well, actually, you know what? It's always both for me. My phones are Androids, but my computers and laptops are Macs. So I'm just like, hey, give me everything.
All right. Yeah. Well, it was definitely a pleasure having you on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z. Please, please, please visit historyisapartofme.com. And with your permission, Ms. Dramagons, I would like to play a little bit of your song at the conclusion of this interview for our listeners' pleasure.
And thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I look forward to seeing continued success.
Thank you.
To the classroom. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
I am proud. Yeah. I am strong. Yeah. I am special because I am somebody. Yeah. You say I am proud. Yeah. I am strong. Yeah. I am special because I am somebody. Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine what this world would be like if there weren't any traffic lights? In 1923, Garrett A. Morgan figured out something that was very important. A signal so we can roll out. Made it easy for traffic to flow about. Like red light, yellow light, green light, go. Garrett A. Morgan, you ain't know, now you know. If it gets too hot or if it gets too cold, turn the temperature high or turn the temperature low. We can measure the degree by the thermostat. 1928, David Crossway invented that. And while we're speaking of the temperature, 1949, Fred Jones came up with an air conditioner. Don't be afraid to venture out on your own. Be proud, be strong, come on. History is a part of me. History is a part of me. History is a part of me. Now won't you help me sing this song?
Stay locked in and fully loaded. Bashani Radio and Verke Radio. They said we couldn't do it, but we global now. Worldwide. Boom. In your face.
A New York City address is instantly recognizable and impressive to customers and clients. Starting at only a dollar a day, nycvirtualoffice.com provides mail forwarding options, including a walk-in location, and receives mail and packages to national and international customers with no setup fees and no contracts. With your Fifth Avenue address, you can incorporate your business, open bank accounts and lines of credit, and gain instant credibility. Call today, 212-726-1000. That's 212-726-1000. Or online at nycvirtualoffice.com.